When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Alex Van Pelt yesterday on the offensive line and their performance against the Bears as the Patriots get ready for the Rams on Sunday, Wiggy. And you say it, well, I guess some say it, winnable football game every week, but this one is, I get it, they're coming off of the Monday night game, so maybe an advantage there. Is home field still an advantage?
I think home field is an advantage, especially a team like the Rams that they play indoors. So if there is some wind that you have to deal with, like in Chicago.
Temperature-wise.
The temperature. You know, those guys coming from Cali, they're going to be like, ooh, it's cold out here. But this is a game. And we say that all the time. This is a game that the Patriots have the ability of winning. I think it's more about Van Pelt and him calling plays. I saw a couple things that I like. Play action and getting Drake May on the move a little bit, using his athleticism to get out of the pocket. Because the front, like Shime talked about it, for the Rams, they can get after you. So get them outside their pocket.
Also, that's a desperate team. Like they sort of need to win this football game because they lose it and they're out.
I also think that you need to take advantage of how tired they're going to be. They're coming off a Monday night loss. They have to fly across the country. I know I keep saying that, but coming to Boston from California with temperatures, playing outdoors, everything like that. I understand Matthew Stafford is talented, but he didn't have a great game against the Dolphins. And now you want to fly across country and take on a Pats team that seems like they're on the up. I think that the Pats have this one. I'm betting Pats this week.
It's a problem.
Betting things does not sway me. It actually sends me in the opposite direction.
I mean, I've won two parlays so far this season, so that's more than I can say for others.
That's all right. Keep swinging the bat, Courtney.
I don't know.
We're at the point right now. We still just don't know what Patriots team is going to show up. That's where I would still be a little bit hesitant. I think they can win this football game, but if the Patriots team, that the defense can't stop anybody, shows up, then it could be a long day for them.
They also have a very hard, the Rams rested their schedule. They could be overlooking the Pats when it comes. They've got Eagles, Bills, Jets, Niners. Like, they still have a lot of games on the schedule that are going to be tough for them. So they might be looking at this Patriots as a get-right game, which they shouldn't because, I mean, they're 4-5.
But the Rams, I don't know if they look at it as a get-right game. They could be looking at it as, like, we're still in the mix of making the playoffs. When you look at the NFC.
One more win than the Pats, though.
No, but when you look at the NFC and how it's kind of shaken out, where you could kind of figure out, like, all right, this could be an opportunity for them to still be in the mix, still be in the hunt, if they can put some games together. So you're going to get the Rams' best shot. I just think, you know, Courtney, you could be on to something where you said, could the Patriots go 6-1 and, you know, have a chance to make the playoffs? If it's going to have to start, you know, this again this week with the Rams.
I know the narrative has changed a little bit, I think, in light of last week on Jerod Mayo. But does he need a back-to-back week-to-week win to really change that narrative, or it doesn't matter this season?
He's got 7 weeks to equal Bill's win total. So I think he'll be all right. I also think I'm very disappointed. I thought Cole Strange, this would have been a perfect revenge game. We all remember Les Snead and McVay laughing at the pick.
Oh, it's so funny.
But he's not going to play again. What a disaster of a draft pick.
And
holy
Greg,
God.
What do you mean Mayo has to, like he has to win this game? Or I feel like we're caught, like with Mayo, aren't we just like, it's really about the decisions that he makes on the field, in-game, as a coach?
Well, what do you mean? I mean, I think that there are some. I think it's a done deal. He's not going anywhere. But I think there are some that are not that impressed with Jerod Mayo this season. And so
is it because of the lack of – but isn't it more the lack of talent, which would fall on Elliott Wolf's plate? Mayo's just getting the team that he's been handed down to him.
Well, there were certainly winnable football games that you can point to and say, I wish Gerard Mayo had gone for two in this game, and that we would have won that football
game. Yeah, that's the one game, Tennessee game.
There are some who look at where he is experience-wise and go, I'd rather that you go and get Mike Vrabel or go and get somebody who is an experienced head coach. I mean, you hear those. People call in
right,
with those arguments.
Right, but I don't. I think
people text in all day about
right,
Gerard
but
Mayo.
I think with those arguments, you have to look and go, okay, other than the Tennessee game where you go, okay, they probably could have went for two in this position, which they end up kicking the extra point and tying the game up, and it goes into overtime. I don't know where you could say the reason why you lost this game is because of Mayo's inexperience as a head coach, where I think it's more about when we've talked about this team, the reason why this team hasn't been good. A, you dropped the ball on Drake May and didn't start him from week one. B, you don't have the talent, whether it's the O-line, skill players. And I think those are more of an Elliott Wolf issue than a Gerard Mayo issue.
This team has, I don't know the numbers, but they have to be one of the most penalized teams in the NFL.
Wrong. They're not in the top 10.
No.
They're not?
I'm at it right now. They've committed 64 penalties.
They're like the middle of the pack.
Yeah, through the first four, 6 weeks, though,
they were really good.
Yeah.
They were really good. They were like in the top five when it comes to least amount of penalties a game. The past couple of weeks, they've had some issues, but they're probably like 12 or 13.
These teams all have more penalties. The Ravens, the Seahawks, the Jets, the Texans, the Panthers, the Browns, the Titans, the Broncos, the Cowboys, the Packers.
Yeah, they're not like a team that you go like, oh, they're a dumb team because of they make a lot of dumb penalties. He's done a good job with that. That's why I said with Mayo, people are just like, his lack of experience. All right, but that's every new head coach. What has he done on the field, X's and O's, between the white lines on Sunday that you could say you lost this game because of your head coach?
Yeah, probably not much.
All right.
It all
falls in Elliott Wolf, in my opinion. Because if we all believe Mayo wanted to start Drake May in week one, but he got, you know, they hit him with the kibosh on that one. That's an Elliott Wolf thing. We know that the personnel is an Elliott Wolf thing. And if you're telling me
putting weapons around
the old line, Mayo's like, listen, this is what I have to work with. So it's on him. It almost goes back to the Bill Parcells day is like, you want me to cook the dinner, at least you can let me shop for the groceries.
When it comes to wins that Mayo has, though, which one do you find really impressive? I mean,
none.
And you can't tell me week one.
No, I don't find any of the wins.
You can't tell me last Sunday because that Bears team is awful.
I mean, the Jets one was kind of impressive. Like, as soon
Based
as Drake May goes out of that
team,
game.
Where they are now, though, like, maybe it was impressive at the time.
I mean, they went and beat the Texans the next week.
You thought they were going to be something. Yeah.
But the Jets, that is an example where in the past we would credit the coach. They played one time, they got embarrassed. They played them again, and they got revenge. You know, you think about that Thursday night disaster at MetLife. A couple weeks later, they go and beat them after getting blown out about a month earlier.
And they beat them in a game that they lose their starting quarterback. Drake May goes down with the concussion. Jacoby Brissett comes in, and they still win.
Yeah, but Greg's right. They stink, and everybody thought they stunk before that. So it's not one of those wins.
Actually, only one person thought they would stink.
Well, yeah, right I here. Mean, you were on them from day one. I'll give you that. But as the season
progressed. Ken loved them.
Yeah, as the season progressed, Curtis.
Just go against everything Ken says, and you'll be successful.
As the season progressed, Curtis, I think more and more people started to jump on your train. So I'm with you, Greg. I don't think they have an impressive win.
They have been underdogs in all 10.
Right.
They've won 3.
Right.
Nothing is going to be put up in the Sistine Chapel. There's nothing pretty about this team.
No, would be an impressive win.
What if the Rams lose the week after and then they go to 4-7? People will be saying, well, look at them. They're not that good.
The only impressive potential wins that they could have is when, I think it's week 15, when they go to Arizona. Or the following week at Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, if they're able to beat one of those teams, then you go, that's an impressive win because these teams are good. Because the rest of the teams that they're going to be playing, They all pretty much have...
The Chargers are good.
But wait one second. So do we believe this team has overachieved at three wins at this stage?
Yeah.
We all took the under. I mean, everybody around here.
No, because you added an extraordinary talent at quarterback.
Well, they added that in the offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we picked the over or under when we knew Drake May was on the team. So
yeah,
they've overachieved.
So what do you mean? Overachieved or underachieved?
Did you expect the Patriots to have three wins at this point in the season?
I bet the under. So yeah. I expected them to be under 4.5 wins on the season.
Yeah, and I think
them being at three wins at this stage is an overachievement.
Right. I'm asking you if you give most of the credit to that to Jerod Mayo or to Drake May.
I give credit to an organization that addressed a need.
In this case, you do.
Yeah. See, I don't think...
Bill Belichick, what do you mean? I mean, they...
I know what you're getting at, which is that you're talking about Mayo has outperformed Bill Belichick.
I'm saying that the organization has overachieved at this point of the season.
No.
I would give the credit to Drake May for that.
You would say no?
No, because we talked about it at the beginning of the season. There were people that thought, okay, they would get over... the four wins, and there were people that thought they'd be on but people are like, oh, they can win the second game against Seattle. People are like,
they could have won that one.
Right. I'm just talking about, so when he asks, is this an overachievement? I don't think it is, because people are like, oh, they could beat the Jets. So you have three wins, and if anything, I would say you're underachieving in my book, because if you were to put Drake May in week one, now you'd be sitting here with maybe five wins, and you could look at this
team. I think
it's
recency bias, though.
What's that?
Like, I think if you had asked at the beginning of the season how many wins would this team have, you're looking at four. What was your final guess going into the season?
Mine was they get over four wins if they start Drake May week one. If they don't, they're under four wins.
Okay, so they didn't start Drake May week one, and they have three already.
So what does that mean?
And you also can't credit the quarterback for being here when he's only won one game. The two games they won, one was started by Brissett, and the other was ended by him.
No, I understand that point, but I think this team would have been in a lot better position if Drake May was from day one.
We know that. Yeah.
Right, so...
Yeah. All right, well, it's a Patriots Friday. You can talk about this and other things all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Here is Courtney with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get pummeled in Dallas. 7-2 was the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 31 saves on the night. Former Bruin Tyler Seguin became the first member of the 2010 NHL draft class to hit the 800-point mark, getting 2 points against his former team last night. Brandon Carlo hit the boards from what most are calling a dirty hit by Jamie Benn. Carlo was shaken up. He headed to the dressing room before coming back to the ice. Jim Montgomery spoke about that after the loss.
Yeah, he's a tough competitor. You know, one thing about Brando is he wears his heart out there on the ice, and he's a Bruin.
The Bees are off tonight before welcoming the Blues to the Garden tomorrow. It's a doubleheader at the Garden. That Bruins game is at 1, and then a quick turnover before the Seas have the Raptors at 8. The Eagles are 8-2 on the season now after they beat the Commanders in Thursday Night Football 26-18. It's a Patriots Friday. We talked with Jelani Tavai already this morning. If you missed that, listen to it on the Odyssey app. But it'll be a Patriots Friday all day long, so listen to EEI. As you get through your final workday of the week. 1 p.m. kickoff at Gillette against the Rams on Sunday. And tonight, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul will fight on Netflix. It starts at 8 p.m. And head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a 3-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow-roasted prime rib, 2 sides, and a free 3-course meal upgrade. It's available Friday and Saturdays after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines.
Greg, I was going to give you credit, too, I was going to do it for my lead, but you said something yesterday that you might be spot on. It's been ablaze all over social media and all over the world of sports talkers.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, are we going to get to that? Is this a tease?
And if we can get to it, you want.
Do I get any kind of a food item as a reward? Or
Curtis brought in bagels today, so maybe we'll get you a little bagel.
It's a Michelle Friday. All right, we will get to that in the rest of the show coming up.